Surviving on the Poison They Feed Us. It's the Great Reset, everybody. Executive Director David Waterman, Chief Science Officer Dr. Dan Stanislavski with the Midwest Public Health Coalition in the studio today. Your show, by the way, brought to you like it is every Tuesday by Alternative Health in Grand Forks, your go-to trusted medical providers that offer therapeutic benefits of cannabis and are qualified to prescribe medical marijuana. Now, Dr. Charlotte Ewalls is a licensed medical professional in both North Dakota and Minnesota. You do not need a referral, and she will assist patients with a natural and a holistic approach for pain management and increased quality of life. Now offering medical marijuana assessment for North Dakota and Minnesota residents. Now, this is in conjunction with alternative therapy referrals. If you want more information, check out alternativehealthgf.com. You can email info at alternativehealthgf.com or call 701-317-1744. Make sure you call for an appointment. Easy to find Happy Harry's Complex on Gateway Drive in Grand Forks. You know what? For a better life, it's alternative health here in Grand Forks. So again, now, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to text or call. Our number is 701-213-0863. And of course, like we do every Tuesday here on The Great Reset, we're not going to be on Facebook or YouTube today, but you can go to gfbestsource.com, click listen now. It is all live. Or if you want to chat, just click the Twitch link in the upper left corner. The Rumble link, by the way, is also posted on the GFBS Facebook page. And before we get too much further into the show, time now for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. The other day, I played frisbee golf or golf frisbee or whatever you call flinging a 9-iron into the woods. Are you guys golfers?
I've done it.
Yeah.
I'm not a golfer. I've got a set of clubs, but
people that say golf is a relaxing sport.
Yes.
They must be drinking a lot because I used to golf a ton. I don't golf much anymore, but far from relaxing. How are you, David?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are
good,
you?
Good, John? Good, good.
Yeah, it's an interesting time because we're getting ready for another election season.
And yeah,
people
yeah.
People are running and, you know, school board, we've talked about that. Mm-hmm. Are we going to do a school board show?
We'll talk about that here in a minute.
All right.
Dr. Dan, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well, as always. I have a very, very incredibly blessed life, so I have no complaints personally. Although there's a lot of complaints about things happening in this world.
Yeah. And where do we start, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'll start like I normally do here in the Great Reset through April 25th. Now you see VAERS updated their COVID vaccine deaths. Now the number is 14,346. Of course, flooding in the news. We're pretty lucky here in Grand Forks. But a lot of these small towns around here, they are now islands. They're evacuating towns. You know, these small rivers can't handle it. You know, everybody's got drain tile now. Everybody's got bigger ditches. Everything runs into these small rivers, and people are paying for it. Some COVID news. They say most Americans have had COVID now. But they're also, the experts are saying, be ready for the next stage. Like it's already planned. Hello? They've already got another variant in the works.
Well, we haven't been saying that for a year, have we? No, we've been saying that for a year and a half.
Yeah.
It's a 5-year program, but I mean, I said that a year ago,
yeah.
Over a year ago.
And also, countries now offering fourth COVID vaccine doses for what they call vulnerable groups. We were at the Great Reese or the Red on the Ralph a couple of weeks ago in Thief River Falls. You guys were there. You guys remember Dr. Scott Jensen. Mm-hmm. I was pretty impressed with him. He says that he suggested that the state's Democratic Secretary of State should go to prison, though he provided no legal basis for why. Former state senator, of course, known for his skepticism of COVID-19 vaccine and the state's response to that pandemic. Now, Jensen attacked Secretary of State Steve Simon at a recent GOP convention over how he's run the state's election system, which we heard a lot of from candidates. Mm-hmm. He said Simon should see if he looks good in stripes. Simon called it a bizarre and irresponsible attempt to use conspiracy theories to radicalize supporters. Courts have found that steps Simon took during the 2020 election were legal. I guess I didn't hear about that election. And one more news. Who dropped out? Oh, Republican Michelle Benson suspended her run. She's not going to be a senator anymore. She's not going to run for governor. So Got that there?
She was probably the low-hanging fruit of the candidates I, think candidates so. I saw. So.
Yeah, and I think she realized that. And you know what? These guys are working their tails off. They're traveling all over the place.
Yeah.
There comes a time when you just got to go, you know what, maybe this isn't it. But, right. You know, she's been a senator for quite a while.
Yeah.
And she's going to step away from that, too. And you know what? Why not just be a person again?
Yeah, I talked to her. She's the only candidate I actually talked to in person, and she had very political answers for everything. So I'm
bye. Yeah, 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 right. Yeah, right.
And on that note, though, I have to make a correction because last week I said there were multiple good candidates, and there are. But one of them I mentioned was Paul Gazelka, and I was emailed by a disgruntled viewer for saying this. Just kidding. This person was not disgruntled.
Oh.
I'm not going to name who this is, but they had some good things. I said, I saw you on the Great Reset yesterday that you liked Senator Paul Gazelka as one of the candidates for Minnesota governor. I must inform you that he was Senate Minority Leader and then Majority Leader during Walz's emergency powers period. Gazelka was one of the very few in the cabinet group that had a say in what Walz did. I and many others feel that he was very weak-kneed. It did not sufficiently stand up to the governor. True. And it says, although Gazelka rose up through the Tea Party movement, that history is juxtaposed with his recent voting record. He scores a measly 31% for 2021 by the Legislative Evaluation Assembly, which basically looks at constitutional rights and how people vote to support constitutional rights. And only 31% of the time did Mr. Gazelka support constitutional rights. And then this individual who emailed me says, I know it's hard to imagine a politician would lie, but Senator Gazelka espoused the talk, but is securely mired in the St. Paul swamp. So there you go. So again, I thought Dr. Neil Shah was by far the best. And then Mike Murphy was also incredibly good candidate. So there's still
both of those, Mike Murphy and Neil Shah. Right. Yeah. And unfortunately, we didn't get to hear from Dr.
Jensen.
Because he had surgery the next day.
He was in a lot of pain. When I interviewed him, he was actually trying to schedule a surgery for 7 o'clock the next morning so he could still go back to campaigning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough guy. I kind of like to hear that. Yeah.
I mean, I interviewed him as well, and he was definitely uncomfortable just walking over to the place where we did the interview. But once the camera started rolling, he just, okay. You'd never know that he was, that he was suffering.
But, so he's
a tough guy.
They're dropping out of the governor race for Minnesota. How about the Grand Forks School Board race? 23 candidates at one time. Are they still all there?
As far as I know, they're still there. And, you know, the yard signs are starting to pop up like mushrooms after a rainstorm.
Yep.
So we'll, I was even thinking, do I want a yard sign that just says Waterman, because that'll cover both me and Aaron.
Oh, sure.
But someone was saying that they don't think that people will vote for two people in the same the same last name.
Okay.
They're saying, a negative because, well, we don't want to, that's going to be like nepotism there on the school board. Who knows?
You know, I like the yard signs, but there is one bad thing about yard signs. They get stolen. We have people on this Just Say No to the Asphalt Plant kind of group. That spent good money on getting these yard signs. We went through the whole process of making sure these were put in spots where they could be. We got permission from landowners, homeowners, business owners. The signs went up, and then they started disappearing. They'd been disappearing. They even took two out of my driveway, and I live in the country.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we do have cameras.
Some remote cameras.
Yeah. And I do have some cameras on. And ever since I mentioned that the other day, go figure, they quit disappearing. But we haven't gone through the footage yet, but I will look.
So we can surmise from that these thieves also listen to this show?
That or they go to the city council hearings, because if they don't listen to the show, they definitely have to listen to me when they're there. Yeah. Because I get my chance, I speak. And by the way, that vote is tonight, 5 o'clock, City Hall in East Grand Forks. I was told I could speak last week at their workshop thing, they called it. I never got to. Oh. So hopefully tonight.
Yeah.
A lot of things going in the work. It's been a very long, tiring fight. But
so what's your feeling about it? I mean, what do you have an idea of which way it's going to go?
Right now, I'm not happy. I think that there's more to the works than what the public knows. The majority of the people I have talked to are against this, so I don't know why the city council thinks it's a win-win. When you ask them why is it a win-win, they don't have an answer. When you ask them what about all the bad things that come from asphalt, they say prove it, which we have. And it's just on and on like that. It's funny because when these concerned citizens are up there talking, some of the council members look like they're thinking, okay, well, what do I got to get at the grocery store when we leave this place? How much time do we have left here? Jeez. Yeah. How many more people need to talk? Oh, come on. Yeah. You know, that's kind of the vibe that they're giving off.
A true representative government.
Yeah, there you go. A true representative of the people that voted for you to represent them and protect them from things. But they just seem to think that this is a good deal. I better not say anymore. I know there's now there's some lawyers involved. So I'll leave it at that. Mm. Maybe even shouldn't have said that.
Is that a good thing?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'll find out in a few hours. So
Well, that sounds like the experience that we've had at the school board.
Where yeah, just kind of exactly.
There. And if that's how the bureaucracy runs across our country, then
yeah.
Well, which it does.
Which it does.
We're in trouble. Right. We're in trouble.
So surviving on the poison they feed us, Dr. Dan?
Well, there's one little piece of news that's kind of conspicuous that was not mentioned, is that there's a new Ministry of Truth in our country.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yep.
The wonderful Department of Homeland Security is keeping us even more secure by keeping our brains secure from that pesky little thing called truth. Yeah. They don't want that knocking on your noggin and, you know, maybe disrupting the food chain here. So
now that's just to prevent disinformation from being spread to the the undocumented immigrants who are coming to the country, because they're being told lies and we've got to protect them from those lies.
You think
lies.
That's anything to do with Hunter Biden?
And that will never, ever expand beyond that particular purview. I mean, that's their goal. That's all it is. That's all it is. Don't look, nothing to see here.
Yeah.
And it's never going to change.
I think they put an actress in charge of it too. I don't know who this lady is. She's not an actress, but
it's not AOC.
I don't even know her name. All I've seen is some clips and she looks crazy, you know, but it's kind of, I don't know. If you're a Democrat, I think you're crazy. But
Yeah. I was going to say, is she by any chance a Democrat?
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah. I mean, I have a hard time saying I'm a Republican. I'm not. I mean, I took the jacket off now because I had to put it on for a couple of weeks, but now it can come off. I'll probably vote, you know, mostly Republican. But the Democrats I would never associate myself with at all, ever. Mm-hmm. This lady, I mean, I'm not going to judge a person based upon some videos on like singing, and trying to entertain people at a bar or something, you know, that's your deal. But taking over a governmental organization that is officially going to be the censor of the state, that's just a bridge too far.
I think this is going to be entertaining itself. Just watching the crap that is going to happen with this.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that's happened over and over again throughout recent history, is there's an official censor of some totalitarian state, and then they censor people. And eventually, people don't get that when you censor ideas, that is a prelude to censoring the people that have those ideas. And by censoring the people, I mean killing them.
Executing them.
Yep. And so that is, again, the next step. That's where this is building towards. They've had kill measures in place, you know, COVID-19 vaccines, et cetera, et cetera. But now it will be an overt move towards actually exterminating people who think a certain way, which is to say not what the government wants them to think.
And so for people that don't really, that maybe haven't seen it yet, the what are they calling it? The Ministry of Misinformation or the, what do they call that to put that new department?
I honestly, we
should know what it is, but what they're saying is that it's just that it's just, and the Young Turks who are also there, you know, they're known as Young Turks, but there's another term there's something else we could say that like these are people that are not they're not the sharpest knives in the drawer. Yep. I'll just put it like that.
Didn't Rod Stewart write a song about them? Young Turks, one of his best songs.
I think that's different. So
they were mocking the warning that Tucker Carlson was making about this new misinformation organization, ministry under the Biden so-called administration, and saying, look at this, he's an idiot. The whole goal of this thing is to prevent misinformation from going out to you know, undocumented immigrants, because they're coming to this country because they hear things that are false, and that's all it's designed to prevent is these people that are trying to come. So when I heard that, my understanding of their intelligence quotient was low to begin with, but when I heard them say that, it dropped dozens of points.
Yeah,
it can't get much lower at this point. That's how it always starts.
Yeah.
Oh, we're just going to try to we're trying to protect these illegals who are coming. Oh, I'm sorry, undocumented people. We're just trying to prevent them from hearing things that aren't true, and which is urging them to come to the United States illegally. We're just trying to stop that from happening.
Yeah.
Well, look, if you really believe that that's the goal of this new Ministry of Misinformation, then you know nothing about world history or U.S. history. Mm-hmm. Because that's not how it works. They always start with look at COVID. The pretext, right, for the pretense for shutting down your business is we're trying to protect you.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with
protecting. Well, it's like the difference between undocumented and illegal. The only difference is who's saying it.
Right.
Really.
Yeah, exactly. And so this whole thing about protecting people from misinformation, that will spread very, very quickly to anything that the current communist dictator in the White House doesn't like. Anything that he doesn't like, if you're saying, hey, wait a minute, now our Ministry of Misinformation Protection is going to apply to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to now give you one chance. And if not, it's off to the hooscow.
Yeah.
And if you keep it up, then it's off with your head. Mm-hmm. It's happened over and over and over again, because whoever controls the information controls the people.
Sure. Right.
Yeah. I think the Young Turks too have the only time I've really looked into them is the money that controls the Young Turks is also controlling, Ilhan Omar and AOC, and it's like this weird consortium of a think tank that got these literal actors. I mean that's what Biden is. I mean, let's be honest, he's not a dictator. He just goes
not a very good actor either.
He just goes up there and he does what he's told. But we have people who are funded by one thing that control the Young Turks. It's a total socialist thing.
Communist.
That controls, you know, it's starting to get control over parts of our Senate and and Congress.
Sure.
You know? So it's very interesting. I hope that people wake up from this, and we'll probably do a deep dive on this Ministry of Truth thing. It's kind of like an overwrought trope, though. So I mean, that's just coming to reality. When I saw this, I was like, oh, okay. You know, I didn't really look into it. I wasn't surprised by it, because I have so many pieces of information that fly through my little Pollock brain that I can only store so much up here. So that's, I got to be like, okay, well, I'm not going to look into this, because I'm looking into this kind of food issues that we are now having. And I found a great article on that, which we will get into. And it's about controlling the food system.
Okay.
A total new food system is coming into place. It's actually been in place for a while, about a decade or so. And certainly the research in GMO crops and these corporations go well back into history. And they're now gaining more and more control over the food that goes into our mouths. In fact, one study shows that 75 to 80% of the food we eat is already GMO. Genetically modified organisms.
What percent?
75 to 80% of what Americans eat is GMO.
That doesn't surprise
me. The average
me.
American.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And people, one thing people should remember too is that organic means normal.
No chemicals.
Exactly.
It's just like the old food that we have eaten.
Yeah, that we grew up you eating. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's so. But I remember before I was, you know, I stopped being a robot. I remember thinking that organic was like just associated with the crunchies, you know, the hippies.
And
it's just this like weird thing. And it turns out that, you know, no, it's just normal food, food, you know, that isn't sprayed with, you know, neurotoxins that are killing insects, you know. And then you have to have a certain gene in your food that can actually, you know, metabolize the glyphosate. Otherwise, Monsanto's going to be like, oh, you have, you know, our crop and now we're going to, you know, totally take over your thing. So, and you can drive down a road in like rural North Dakota, Iowa, whatever, and you're going to find seed companies.
Yeah, they're signs.
Sign. Yep. Thank you.
See, wow, little plots.
Think of the word sign.
Yep.
That has like, hey, this is our GMO mm-hmm. seed. Is this big thing of corn you acreage of corn you're seeing here? You know, so it's a total takeover what we put into our bodies. Now, I've talked about Bertrand Russell many times, obviously, and I did one of his books on Open Secrets, and he's saying there through diet, injections, injunctions, we're going to control people, control them, you know, physically as well as psychologically. And how can they control you psychologically by what you're putting into your mouth to eat? Well, it dims your intellect.
Sure.
You know, if you're malnutrient, is that a word? No.
Malnourished.
Thank you. See, wow. The last few days, seriously, yesterday I could hardly talk. I
was
like,
is it something in your tea or what?
Well, this is coffee.
Oh,
but yes. But it's been a few days.
Maybe this coffee.
Yeah. Right. Right. But yeah. So like, again, you suppress the immune system through diet. It actually suppresses your cognitive ability, and thus you get a decline in.
Sure.
Intelligent quotient, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of systems being put in place here to control humanity, not just America, not just North Dakota, not just Grand Forks, humanity through not only injections, but now diet is accelerating incredibly rapidly. So, and that's what I'll be getting into in more detail here in the second half of the show, because I don't know if David has any other stuff.
You look great. Yeah, I'm losing weight, but I'm getting really dumb.
Yeah. I'm experiencing it in lifetime the last few days. So yeah. I was like, that's it. Boy, I can't think of the word sign. So
it's just a delayed reaction.
It happens to the
COVID.
Best of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah, aging, I guess, is maybe that's what's happening for me. So I guess we'll just hop into this. So this article is called New Controlled Food System is Now in Place, and They Will Stop at Nothing to Accelerate Their Control. It is a very well-researched and well-documented article, and it's at coreysdigs.com. You can find this, coreysdigs.com. And I love this quote it starts off with. It starts off with one of the true gangsters in the world. His name, Henry Kissinger. We've talked about him a number of times. He's even got the voice.
You're talking about me now.
Yeah. And this quote is, who controls the food supply controls the people. Who controls the energy can control whole continents. And who controls money can control the world. And he's not talking, you know, ideally here, some like philosophy he's running on, right? Although there's certain philosophies here. He's talking about people he works for,
mm-hmm.
right? He is certainly a trigger man for the banksters of planet Earth. This article says, this famous quote by Henry Kissinger is ringing more and more true by the week. The globalists already control the majority of money. It's not majority, they control all of it, and are moving ever so swiftly to convert the energy system over into systems they are all invested in. That's already done. And have been taking drastic measures to control the food industry while running much of it under the radar. That is not fully under control yet, but they are certainly getting there. And again, folks, meet local farmers who grow food on their things that you can just buy directly from them.
Uh-huh.
They will be your best friends.
Sure.
Right. It's, you know, it is imperative in what's happening, because this will get dark and we'll have a lot of points where please jump in, because I don't want to monopolize the time here. But farmers that grow food locally are and will be your best friends. So get to know them. In fact, one good buddy of mine, who I met just through farming and meeting through families. He said at the beginning of COVID-19, he said, as long as I have meat, your family has meat, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
And again, we didn't know what was happening at the beginning of COVID. This is, you know, January 2020. He was at my door when we were having this conversation about this stuff. And this is what he said, you know, and he was right. And because he's a good man, he has principles.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
And he understands what his farming is for. It's for helping people he knows first and foremost, his family, and then his people he knows, you know? And that's, so again, get to know farmers.
And be willing to, get to know farmers, and you can take matters into your own hands as well, right? But we think we can. And when I just want to say this before Dan, before you continue, we have to start, people have to start thinking outside the box in a number of different ways. We are so used to the the largesse, the abundance that we have in our country, the freedom to go and buy whatever you like. That's something that we literally take for granted, but it's not something that most people in the world mm-hmm. have an opportunity to do. Mm-hmm. And that's going to change, I think, very quickly here in our country. So, for example, you're talking about getting to know a farmer. And I know there are people that are listening who are going to think, I got a big backyard. I'll grow some food in my own backyard. Now, that's super easy to do until there's an outbreak at one of these places like Burpee or Gurney's or one of these places that sell seeds. And all of a sudden, a fire. What if there was a fire in one of these seed plants and all the seeds burned up? Mm-hmm. Or they can't ship them anymore because they found some kind of microorganisms in some of the seeds. And so we've got to destroy all because we don't know. You know how easy it would be for the people, the puppet masters, to cut that opportunity off from everyone that wants to do it?
And you know, with the price of everything now at a grocery store, produce being amongst some of them, but we used to have a fairly small vegetable garden at my house. I had to fence it in because of the deer and the rabbits and all the critters we have. And we have been heeing and hawing about, I've got 6 acres, you know. I could have a garden like you wouldn't believe.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. But I cannot, if they get this asphalt plant, I cannot grow, which would be considered organic produce anymore. Mm-hmm. My good neighbors at Stable Days Youth Ranch donated over 5,000 pounds of organic produce to the food shelves last year and other entities. So they've donated over 5,000 pounds. Wow. They fire up this asphalt plant. They will no longer be able to be considered organic. So, you know, you also got to look at where you live. What can you grow? Can I grow it? And is it going to be worse than the crap I'm buying from the grocery store now? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, it won't be worse. And even if there's, depending on what's coming out of that stack, mm-hmm. the plant, and how much of it's landing and settling on what you're trying to grow, I still think it'll probably be easier to wash that off than glyphosate from Monsanto, you know, and all their other horde of toxic waste that they like to spread on our food supply.
No, right? I'm going to say
in the
this.
Interest of progress.
You're not being much help, but sorry. No. Anyway, I'm sorry. I had to throw that in there.
Yeah. No. Well, I'd rather wash something off that that isn't designed to actually be absorbed into the plant.
Remember the good old days when we were kids and you had a garden and you'd go pull a carrot out of the dirt and just Wipe it off a little bit with your fingers and eat it. There's nothing better, dirt and all. Yeah. I mean, but that was before we have contaminated this earth with so many chemicals that, you know.
And it's literally a catastrophe that the world is experiencing is the contamination by glyphosate specifically across the world.
Yeah.
It's totally evil. But there are some things we're going to talk about here, like vertical farming. Hydroponics, aeroponics, there's some really cool new technologies you can employ if you have an extra room in your house.
Sure.
You know, you can set some of these things up and you can, provide, you know, at least vegetables and stuff and fruits and stuff for your family should you need them. And we may
need them sometime
soon. But they are, again, this is an example of how they're taking all this. They monopolize the science by funding it. And then they use it to take control of, instead of freeing and unleashing humanity, they chain and shackle and control minds of humanity and thus and bodies through food and through technological advancement. So it says if they control the seeds, they control the food. And as David mentioned, once they have control of seeds, by the way, they have control of seeds. There's global consortiums that have control of seeds. And we'll talk about that in here.
And there are organizations that are pushing back against that very hard, that are really trying to stop that because they see what's happening.
Right. And
India in particular has got some folks who are all over that and they're really working it and saying, no, we're not going to let you do this.
Yeah. And again, this is imperative that we overthrow this.
Absolutely.
It can't be just, let's vote the red guy in and then, the same things happen. And then, the blue guy comes in. The same things happen. Then the red guy comes in. The same things happen. Okay, we have to break from that mentality big time.
But how do we break from that mentality?
Shooting.
That's a trick question. No.
Yeah, that's one way.
No.
Yes.
No. What would you listen? I know as well as you, John, that scientists are all in on this, right? All scientists are evil.
Well, you got to trust them. You have to trust the science.
No, they're because they have been bought and paid for. Sure. So you cannot trust scientists. If there's if it's a scientist, then just don't listen to anything they have to say. Oops. Sorry.
No,
here's the thing.
That's a healthy disposition, though.
Just because, well, it's a healthy disposition to ask questions and to be willing to analyze for yourself whether or not what you're hearing is valid. But it's also a healthy disposition to find out who is trustworthy and who's not.
Sure.
Because some people are and some people aren't. And that's true in every single area of life. There are car salesmen that you can trust your, you know, 16-year-old daughter with, you know, in a dark hotel 50 miles away from, and then there are childcare workers who I wouldn't trust my 21-year-old son with, you know, in the next room.
Yeah.
So it's people are people.
Sure.
And there are bad people and there are good people. And there are bad people in every profession. There are good people in every profession. Yep. So when we talk about politics, there are like three different categories of politicians, right? They're the ones that are just, that are in it for themselves and they will lie, cheat, steal, and do whatever they have to do to get elected so they can feather their own nest, right? Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, they're the people that go, that have actually good intentions. They'd like to do some good, and they have some ideas about how they might be able to serve. And so they get into office, but they're not well grounded in their own foundational morals and values. And so, even though they may have had good intentions when they went there, because their foundations are weak, when the pressure starts to pile on, they are easily swayed to do something, and they justify it in their own minds.
Or their foundations are the total matrix, inculcated, you know, conditioned responses, despite their good intentions. So they will just robotically do the bidding of
the master. I'm talking about people that have the intention of doing something good when they go in, because they basically know right and wrong, but they don't have a solid enough foundation to resist under pressure. And so then those folks fall away. And then there's the third group, and those are the folks who run specifically because their core values are so strong that that's what informs their every decision in their lives. I'm not talking about perfect people. I'm not talking about guys like John Roberts. I'm saying that there are people who will not compromise on their values and their morals mm-hmm. and their beliefs. Those are the folks we have to find. I would vote for someone who calls himself a Democrat, who is motivated by core values and morals that with which I agree. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if there's a Democrat who's solidly pro-life, and there are some, fewer and fewer all the time, but there are some. If I found a Democrat who was pro-life and pro-Second Amendment, pro-Constitution, even though I might disagree with him on how to solve certain problems, I'd vote for that person. Especially, I'd vote for that person if they're running against a rhino, a guy that puts R behind his name, but they really don't have any values that they stand on. They're be willing to move and sway with the winds of change of the day. That's the kind of person that we need to start putting into office. And guess whose fault it is that we don't have more of those people in office? It's ours. It's yours. It's mine. Because we didn't vet those people when they were running. We didn't get involved in the political process soon enough to make sure that the people that had those values were putting their hat into the ring to become public servants. It's up to us. It's look, this is still a country of by and for the people, and people are now trying to cheat the system. But it's up to us to stop it.
Right.
Because ultimately the power rests in the people. So it's easy to point fingers and say, well, they're looking at it. They're bad. No, I don't like Republicans. I don't like Democrats. I don't like this. I don't like that. Okay, do something about it. Get involved and do something about it. And that's what I hope everything that Dan has to say, everything that I have to say, our goal is not to just sit around and say, woe is me and oh, it's so horrible. We need to recognize what's going on in our country and then offer solutions. Mm-hmm. And be prepared to be part of the solution. Because at this point, I've said it before, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Sure. We got one text. I want to say the Young Turks were here for the DAPL. and the lies coming from their reporting. We saw it all. Again, we're going to be back with David Waterman and Dr. Dan Stanislavski with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. But first, you know what? There is absolutely nothing better than treating yourself to some good homemade baked goods. I'm always hungry on Tuesdays about this time. That's where you go to Over Heaven's Cakes. Best cupcakes and cakes, whether you got a special occasion, maybe just a treat. Incredible specialty items by order, or you could just walk in to find out more while you're there. Enjoy homemade lunch and soup. Yeah, they do more than just cakes and cupcakes. Keto, gluten-free, vegan, diabetic options, they've got them all. If you're a business owner, you want to treat your employees to a little treat, check out their monthly employee discounts. They're on the north back side of the Grand Cities Mall, open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4, Saturdays 9 to noon. You can call them up, 701-757-CAKE. Don't forget, graduation is only weeks away. Call, make sure you get that graduation cake ordered. You can also go to overheavenscakes@yahoo.com. Be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. All for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. Chief Science Officer Dr. Dan Stanislavski, Executive Director David Waterman with the Midwest Public Health Coalition, surviving on the poison they feed us on the Great Reset today. And if you're just tuning in, our phone number, if you want to text or call, 701-213-0863.
Yes, indeed. And I echo and support everything David just said there. We are very blessed to be North Dakotans, actually, because there's a lot of good people that certainly David is now helping to get elected.
Sure.
And it's very important that we do that. These people who are doing this to us need to be shot, though, just so people are aware, aware this is what we're talking about here is total evil. And if 75 to 80% of Americans are already eating this, there's GMO products, you know, all over the place, then I think we are in for a very difficult period of humanity in front of us. And so this article continues. It says, if they control the seeds, they control the food. And if they control the food, they can use the digital ID to control consumer access to the food. Now, we've talked about digital ID coming into place. Smart Health Pass is already in 25 states, including our state of North Dakota. So again, this digital ID will be connected to your digital identity, obviously, which will then also be a part of your digital wallet. And you'll need to have a good digital ID to access food is what this author's suggestion, and he's certainly not wild for suggesting it. It says, while a rash of fires suddenly destroy food processing, meat, and fertilizer plants, during a time where farmers are hurting and supply chain issues are kicking in, an entire traceable food infrastructure system has already been built in multiple cities and is making its way across the globe. Imagine a day where farmers' markets no longer exist. You can't drive over to your local farmer to buy produce or cuts of meat, and the only food growing outside of the globalist secured indoor vertical farming and lab growing meat facilities is in your windowsill, garden, or greenhouse. Now, that is something that is, of course, you know, swiftly approaching. So, it's vital that people get ready.
Is this on Corey'sDigs.com?
Yeah, Corey'sDigs.com.
That's
Corey'sDigs.com. And the article is called The New Controlled Food System is Now in Place, and They Will Stop at Nothing to Accelerate Their Control. It has a lot of well-cited things. So it says, how did they lock this in under the radar? Some critical points. The food industry is already monopolized by 10 companies. Boom. Let's just think, it's kind of one of those things that we all know, but we don't sit and think about what this means, right? Then it goes on and says, the majority of these companies have BlackRock and Vanguard as their top shareholders. So even these 10 companies are monopolized by small investment organizations. When you have small investment organizations like BlackRock's pretty new company. Maybe I'll do a deep dive for this show one day on BlackRock, but it's a new company. It's like 1987 is when it started, right? And it's already got trillions of assets under management. And it's because if you go to, I think it's Yahoo Finance, you can look at who the majority shareholder is in these 10 companies that control the food industry, which are Mondelez, Mars, Danone, Unilever, Coca-Cola, Unilever. Nestle, Pepsi, General Mills, Kellogg's, Associated British Foods. So, that's the 10 that have this control. Again, then they're controlled by BlackRock. But then if you go on other sectors, believe it or not, Microsoft, Alphabet, which controls Google, are owned by BlackRock, Vanguard, et cetera, et cetera, right? So you see, this is, again, something that we understand. But, again, it's revealing our enemy. I mean, this is information. These people are the enemy of humanity, right? And we need to...
So does that mean we don't buy from Kellogg's or we don't buy from Dannon or we don't buy from any of these companies?
That's exactly what it means. That's I don't eat cereal anymore,
so yeah. I've been trying to curb my diet a little bit for the better. But
a lot of labels are actually owned by those companies that don't have their label on. You have to look down to the fine print. I just want to ask Dan a question for clarification. Are you saying that BlackRock is the majority shareholder in these companies?
Right. BlackRock, Vanguard. Yep.
Okay.
And if people don't know this.
They don't own it outright because these are publicly traded companies, but if BlackRock owns the majority, if they're the majority shareholders.
Right. And so what happened in 2008 and what happening under the guise of COVID is that there's a lot of money being printed. A lot of this money, while they gave us $600, $1,200, whatever, slap in the face, they were giving a lot of this new printed US dollar, which again is printed into existence by a privately owned organization called the Federal Reserve. Always remember this too.
Yeah.
Always remember this. But so they print this money into existence, then it goes to guys like BlackRock and Vanguard. And what do they do to prop up the economy? They buy shares in American companies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So the stock market indicators, the New York Stock Exchange, S&P 500, all of these things are not indicators of a healthy economy. Not even close. But so that's what's been keeping us on the rails is this fictitious money being printed, which goes to these companies, which are using this money to keep things going, so to speak. But again, they control food. Okay, they control. What happens when these guys control all of the seeds, produce, and meat too? What happens when produce and meat are all grown inside of secured facilities after a gene splice or inside a petri dish and farmland becomes dormant due to overreaching regulations, lack of supplies, and manufacturer inflation? There's a bunch of articles out on how farmers are being paid by the federal government not to produce any food, right? So, again, this is something that's happening. And really,
they've been doing that for 30, 40 years.
Yes, thank you. And I don't know enough about farming. And so if there are farmers that are watching this live, please call in because I want to know how much of the farming industry is dependent on the federal government already.
I don't know. Yeah, and I'm not a farmer, and I don't know the details of that either. But from the farmers that I've talked to, it's here's the problem. It's one of those cases where the camel got his nose under the tent at one point, and now there's no stopping him.
Yeah.
A farmer told me years ago that it used to be, you know, when his dad was farming, he said, if you were smart, if you knew how to kind of deal with weather and you worked hard, you could make money in farming.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's not true anymore.
Yeah.
He said, if you don't understand how to interface with all the federal programs, you will lose your shirt. You cannot stay in business as a farmer unless you get involved in all the federal programs. So the problem is the government should have never gotten into farming in the first place, but they did it for a reason. And now you can't get the camel out of the tent because they're there. So you have to go along with the programs. The idea of the government paying farmers not to grow, my limited understanding of that is that in order to kind of coordinate if everybody's dumping soybeans on the market at the same time, all the farmers in the country decide to grow soybeans, what's going to happen to the price of soybeans? It's going to drop to a penny a bushel, right?
Sure.
And yet nobody grew barley or flax or wheat or anything else. So the idea, as I understand it, is that by the government kind of saying, hey, we got plenty of people growing this and I don't want you to grow that. Well, I'm already set to grow that. Well, we'll pay if you don't grow it because we don't want to kill the market for these people that did. And so that's the idea, is that to create some kind of market stability all the farmers.
I agree with their CRP program, Conservation Reserve Program. Let's face it, our wildlife, they're losing their habitat at an alarming rate around the world. This Conservation Reserve Program, CRP, you plant it. It's kind of like a prairie grass, taller kind of stuff, but it helps heal the soil.
Yes.
And it's habitat for a lot of animals in North America, especially, but it changed the way hunting went again for years. It got it back like the way it used to be, but now a lot of these programs are going along the wayside. In fact, you see it all the time. If you take a road trip where you would see shelter belts, you would see this one little chunk of wood still around. Now you look at, and they're knocking them all down. Yeah. They're knocking them all down. They want more tillable acres, which I get. If I own the land and I'm a farmer, I'm going to want the tillable acres. I don't need that 4-acre chunk of woods in the middle of my field, but you hate to see it go away, too. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm an outdoorsman. I care about our earth. Mm-hmm. But then again, you know, we need to eat, too.
You know, John, you know where CRP came from? You know who invented that?
No.
God did.
Oh, sure.
It's in the Bible. God told the Israelites, he said, listen, every 7 years, don't plant. Just mm-hmm. let the land rest. It mm-hmm. needs to rest. And that's because God obviously invented dirt and the whole earth and everything in it. So he knew that. And so, yeah, that's been around for a long time. But now they're saying you can end rotation of crops, same mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
now with artificial fertilization, they can plant the same crop in the same dead soil year after year after year and pump it with just enough nutrients to make it grow. But it's like pumping a kid full of sugar, right? They get mm-hmm. big and fat, but they're not very good to eat. Mm-hmm. I mean a kid goat. I don't mean like a human.
Yeah, right.
So they do the same thing with plants. I can make them big and green and mm-hmm. fluffy, but that doesn't mean that there's any nutrition
turkeys,
in them.
Chickens, the same whole thing. Animals, yeah, they exactly, breed them yeah. now where turkeys are, I mean, they can't hardly walk. Mm-hmm. They are so large. But it's funny how we were talking about how certain companies make many different types of things with many different labels and names. Got a good friend who's in the turkey business. You know, you could go to Saks Fifth Avenue in New York and buy a turkey for Thanksgiving at $40 a pound, or you could buy an Our Family turkey at $2 a pound, whatever the prices are. Huge difference in these two birds. Mm-hmm. It's called a label.
Yeah.
It's called a bag.
I didn't know it's that.
That's the difference. Yeah. That is the difference.
Well, but to be fair, there are different grades of food.
Sure, right? There are.
So if you're planters and you want to sell peanuts, mm-hmm. you go to a plant that processes peanuts and you say, I want only grade AA peanuts in our bag. So they get the grade AA, AA, whatever. I don't know what the grading system is for peanuts. And that's what they put in the bag. But
sure.
But that's how they do it. Yeah. And they're different grades. You know the best produce, little interesting side note, do you know the best produce, whether you're farming potatoes or onions or oranges, almost always gets shipped out of state?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know that? Yeah, the top grades mm-hmm. get shipped out. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because, like, for say, take potatoes. The highest grades of potatoes, they cost just as much to ship as the lowest grades of potatoes.
Sure.
But the lowest grades of potatoes fetch a lower price at the grocery store. So why would they ship something out that the shipping cost is just as high as something that they can sell for a lot more money? So they ship out the good stuff.
Yeah. I've heard stories from truckers because obviously the best potatoes are grown here in the valley or out in Idaho. Right. But it's funny, especially with the military. Truckload of potatoes heading down to Texas. The guy goes and does a few more things, comes back, picks up a trailer full of potatoes coming back to Grand Forks.
Oh, seriously?
Same load.
Yeah.
Same wow. load. Now,
wonder why they're $90 a pound. Well, you know what I mean. But
yes. Now, Dan is sitting here thinking, I want to get back to the stuff that they're yeah. doing, this evil darkness that we have to all recognize and know what's going on. Because
it's all right.
No. Talking about grades of potatoes, that's not what we're here for. But this is important. And again, for those of you who are listening, I had this conversation with somebody earlier today. You know, everybody, I'm hoping that the people that listen to this podcast have a high tolerance for horror. Because that's what you need in order to mm-hmm. effect change. You have to be willing to look at how bad it really is before you can actually step in and do something about
sure.
it. Sure. Because if you're willing to say, oh, that's a bunch of not conspiracy theorists. There's a bunch of conspiracy theorists. Look, life is a lot simpler and a lot less stressful. If you can just write me off, write Dan off as a conspiracy theorist, write MPHC off, a bunch of conspiracy theorists. It's a lot easier. It's much less stressful temporarily.
Yeah.
Right. Until until the chickens come home to roost, until it all falls apart and people are realizing, they were right, they told us the truth and we didn't listen. And that scenario has repeated itself over and over and over again in history. You've got people that are crying, you know, screaming, the sky is falling, and they're nuts. And then you've got people that are saying, hey, this is bad and it's going to affect you. They're after you and your family. They want to kill you. And they're telling the truth. Now, either you listen or you say, ah, they're nuts. And then you pay the consequences. Sure. But that's repeated itself again and again and again. And so it's time to, you need to figure out who's saying the sky is falling because an acorn fell on their head. And they're just, they've gone off the rails. And who really recognizes the legitimate threats, the intelligent, evil plans that people make to take over and destroy your lives because that's what they want to do. That's real. And if we don't figure out who they are, then we'll all succumb to them when the time comes. And we don't want to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. You're 100% correct on that. Back to the article. In 2014, during the Obama administration, Congress established the Foundation for Food and Agricultural Research Act through the Farm Bill, which ultimately created a nonprofit organization outside of the government with a $200 million kickoff from taxpayer dollars and additional millions in support from Bill Gates. USDA Secretary Vlasic announced its creation on July 23, 2014, stating that they were appointing a 15-member board of directors, which unsurprisingly included Deputy Director Dr. Robert Horsch of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and high-ranking employees from Cargill. Again, that's right under Monsanto as one of the big agribusinesses, and the Aspen Institute, among others. The new foundation would leverage public and private resources to increase the scientific and technological research, innovation, and partnerships critical to boosting America's agricultural economy. On April 2nd, 2019, the Foundation for Food and Agricultural Research announced they were launching Precision Indoor Plants Consortium, a private public partnership consisting of indoor growers, breeders, and genetics companies, including AeroFarms, BASF, Benson Hill Biosystems, Fluence Bioengineering, Green Venus, Japan Plant Factory, and Privia. Their focus is on five key crops: lettuce, tomatoes, strawberries, cilantro, and blueberries. Interesting that cilantro's in there. With a goal to advance speed breeding, and to alter chemicals produced in plants that impact flavor, nutrition, and medicines. By the way, I think it mentioned this article mentions it, but there was a article I mentioned on the show like 6-7 months ago, and I remember now, about how they're trying to make lettuce that has a COVID-19 inoculation within the lettuce, right? So this article does mention as well.
You kind of lost me there at the precision indoor plants. It kind of sounds like a weapon.
Yes. It's John, that's exactly what it is. That's the point we're trying to get across. It is.
It's precise.
Okay, I don't know if I mentioned this on last week's show. I think I did. I forget where I talk about things now. But we are under war. This is what it feels like to be at war. Mm-hmm. They have been trying to kill you, me, Dale, all of us, for a very long time. They don't want you born. They don't want you to exist on this planet. And they have been using surreptitious means to wipe out humanity slowly. Because if it was obvious, then people would be like, well, they're obviously trying to kill us, so they need to stop it.
Sure.
Right? And then on top of that, they have scientific indoctrination in place to make sure that not only do you not see that they're trying to kill you, but you call it good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That can't be right. If they didn't want people to be born, they'd have abortion centers spread out all over the country.
The pill.
As quickly as Bill Gates was buying up farmland, money began pouring into the new future of food, urban vertical indoor farming, where they can claim the masses will all eventually migrate to. According to Research and Markets, the global vertical farming market was valued at $5.5 billion in 2020 and is projected to reach $19.86 billion in 2026. So that's a really fast way to quadruple your investment there. These growing facilities are astronomical in size as far as their ability to serve millions of people. For example, Bowery Farming is in the process of building their newest smart facility in Arlington, just outside of Dallas, which will be capable of serving 16 million people within a 200-mile radius. So one plant, manufacturing location can produce enough food to serve 16 million people.
16 million skinny people.
Right. Malnourished people.
Yeah.
Dying people.
Right.
Yes.
Is the name of the plant Fufeng?
No, it's not. That was a good one, though.
It's the precision Fufeng.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, this is dystopian, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen, you know, several movies in the past where even on their little spacecraft, they have these bright LED lit up, you know, food little trays stacked on top of each other.
They're hydroponics or whatever they got going on.
Again, this part of the mind control technique, by the way, folks, mm-hmm. people don't understand. This is the next Open Secrets episode will be about this.
Okay.
But they use fiction. They use television to program you.
Sure.
Because when you sit in front of TV, you're... Oh, I'm here to relax. I'm just going to just veg out, and you know, I don't want to do anything. I just want to relax and let go, right? But your defensive intellectual capacities, boom, shut off.
Come down, yeah.
Yep. And so you're just like, oh, yes. And then that's when the poison is indoctrinated into us. And for most people, it's on a nightly basis, multiple times a night sometimes, right?
Unless you know what the trigger words are, you know what their agenda is, and you're sensitive to it so that when it pops up.
Yeah.
The other day, my wife and I were watching an episode of Bull.
Oh, sure. Bull, yeah, I like him.
Based on the film McGregor. Yeah, Dr. Phil. And this mother in the episode was talking about how, her husband had just been shot. He was a informant for the government, and so they put him in the witness protection program, gave him a new identity, and he's working in this episode, he's working at a toll booth, right? And somebody drives up to the toll booth with a mask on, boom, 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 they shoot him, and he dies. And so at some point in the conversation in this one scene, the mother's saying that she's demanding that the government relocate her and her daughter to someplace safe. And she says these words, someplace where everybody and his uncle doesn't own a gun. And I'm thinking, come on, really? Yep. Can't you be a little more subtle? I mean, we know that you're anti-Second Amendment. We know you're anti-gun, but can't you be a little bit more subtle than that?
Yeah, because that gun just went up to the toll booth and shot the guy on its own, right?
That's right. Yep. That's how it happened. Yep. There just happened to be a guy in the car with the gun at the same time. But yeah, the gun did it himself. I mean, the gun made the guy's hand go up and do this.
Sure, boop, 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 boop. Sure.
And it turns out later, sorry, spoiler alert, it ends up that it was an agent, someone from the courts who was trying to scare this guy. He was an FBI agent who actually intentionally didn't shoot the guy. He shot into the booth, but because he was a good shot. So he was trying not to kill the guy just to scare him, except that he shot into the booth and hit some piece of metal and it ricocheted and killed the guy anyway.
Yeah. Well, I know if you tried to break into my house, my guns are trained to shoot you. You might need a little help from my hand, but it will happen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they're there for.
Yeah. So I have an awesome father-in-law who watches this show. So shout out to you. Love you. But he was I just talked to him this last weekend. And he said that he was just at a small town Minnesota gun fair, and there are lines of like 50 yards of people buying guns and 100 yards buying ammunition.
No kidding.
So again,
it
is continuing, and it should. I mean, please, that is a very much a blessing. And if you can buy guns, buy them, store them. They will be
learn how very to use important. Them properly.
Learn how to use them properly.
Absolutely. That's very important.
What's the best gun? The gun you know how to shoot, right?
The
one you're trained with.
The one that works. Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely right. Yeah, yeah. So people have to learn how to shoot them, and they have to know when not to shoot them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just remember, when you pull the trigger, you can't take it back.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I haven't done it for a while, but I used to pray regularly, Lord, please don't provide an opportunity for me to use this.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't want to ever have to do that, except to put holes in paper.
Yeah.
Right? That's fun.
Right. Right.
But yeah. So my point was, in talking about the Dr. Phil show, the show Bull, is that was a really obvious example of how what Dr. Dan was talking about, how they program you. They put in these little things to cause you to think a certain way. And for some people, when she said, I want to live in a place where everybody and his uncle doesn't own a gun, some people would just not even, they would just flow in and they wouldn't even think.
I just heard
an anti-Second Amendment message. They wouldn't think that.
Right.
They would just they'd go in, and then later that would affect how they think about. Mm-hmm.
So they say Aldous Huxley only ever went to one movie, and he left immediately because he realized that it's just a programming mechanism. He's mm-hmm. like, yeah. Well, he was also one of the, you know, architects of our reality. So he was like, oh, yeah, this is what this is for.
That's why I watch hockey and football and things like that on TV.
Well, there's a ton of programming that comes through that.
Commercials, yeah.
Right. And the sport, but that's a different episode. Anyway, so here, continuing. Bill Gates insists that droughts and climate change is destroying our ability to farm, and that the future will consist of populations moving into metropolitan cities. By the way, that is a fact. There was one study, it's probably 5-6 years old now, that said that across the globe, it's like 250,000 people are moving into major urban areas every single day across the globe.
Wow. A
quarter of a million.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. That's part of the programming, because they want you off of the land.
Sure.
No skills to produce food for yourselves and living in under their dominion. And being very unhappy and having lax moral standards, we'll say that way. Metropolitan cities where indoor vertical farming is necessary to feed people. If this is the case, why has he acquired 242,000 acres of farmland over the past decade? Again, this is the case because he wants to monopolize it, right? He wants to get rid of normal farming and production.
Of course.
This is a pretty long article, so I'm going to kind of blast through this. So it says, but there's also what's called the consultative, that's a weird word, consultative group of international agricultural research, which holds the world's largest private seed banks, consisting of 10% of the worldwide germplasm across the globe. Germplasm is a seed. It's just a store of genetic information, which is controlled by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So again, a global thing that is the biggest owner of seeds, and it's controlled by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So, yeah, Monsanto and Bayer launched a $30 million startup called Unfold, which develops new vegetable seed varieties tailored to vertical farms. Okay, they have these massive vertical farms. You have all the big boys in on controlling this thing. So this vertical farming is a thing. What else is going on here? So there's supply lines, supply chains, fertilizers, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, as well as BlackRock, own a majority of the Canadian National Railways.
Oh, Canadian right? Pacific, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Canadian National Railway. And then there's also, what's the big one in America? I forget now. I'm sorry. I'm going to skip through this. But what they're saying here is that you have supply lines are being broken down, and they just released a statement that they want the United States to reduce its supply production, supply activity by 20%, right? Already 20%. Again, this is being supported by the big timers that are instructing their companies to do this.
Yep.
Right. There's the USDA, the fertilizer. Bill Gates has a massive stake in alternative fertilizers. Fertilizing has taken a huge hit. Again, this is a Zero Hedge article. It says Black Swan event, top U.S. fertilizer producer hit with rail delays to Midwest. Okay, there you go. Rail delays to Midwest. Again, that's at the behest of the powers that be, the Black Rocks, the so-called. So a fertilizer supply shock is imminent for U.S. farmers as CF Industry Holdings warned Thursday that rail shipments of crop nutrients would be reduced to top agricultural states because supply chains are breaking down. So we talked last week about the 16 or whatever plants being under fire, food production plants being under fire. We talked about the bird flu that is wiping out chickens, causing a chicken shortage, which causes egg shortages. Again, they're using PCR to diagnose the bird flu there. And now we have definitive supply chain reduction as well as fertilizer reduction. And then you have this plan.
It almost seems like
for a new type of farming.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
What a coincidence. All these things are the convergence of all these individual events.
Yeah.
That all lead to, boy, isn't that a good thing that they're, hey, okay, here, let me spin it. Isn't it a good thing that these people have been developing this vertical farming techniques and practices? Because, boy, it's almost like, Of course, they couldn't see all these other disasters coming, but now that they've happened, it's a good thing that we have these vertical farms getting ready to go up so that they can take over.
Yeah.
And all the conventional ones that suffered so much due to the COVID and the global warming and everything and Republicans, now they can save us with this stuff. Yeah, it's this requires a high level of tolerance for horror.
Yeah,
because this is unbelievable. Because the people at the top are manipulating the people below them with money and position. And the ones who suffer is us. Thankfully, a lot of farmers. And here's how unlikely do you think this scenario is? They tell the farmers you shut, they don't grow stuff. We've no longer licensed your farmland is no longer licensed to produce. So you've got to shut down because you have not met the new standards that we've implemented for the protection of the health of our people.
Yeah.
Right. And so you're going to have to shut down until you can meet those standards. And the farmer says, no, I grow food and that's what I'm going to do. And so they do it. And then they send people in to try to shut them down. But the farmers, a lot of farmers have, you know what they have? Guns. So they send people in to stop the farmers from farming. The farmers take out their guns and the people either leave or they get shot. And then the next thing you know, you've got military planes flying over the fields, spraying defoliants on the farmers' fields. Is that, considering what we've just experienced in the last 2 years, Dan and John, I want to ask you both, is that too far of a stretch?
Oh, absolutely not. Well, we've already established that it already happens. It's not the last elements of that scenario where they have the military actively spraying over specific farmers. I think the military sprays over the globe, but that's a different episode. But we've already established that they don't fund you if they pay some farmers not to even produce food. Mm-hmm. They probably tell some farmers, like, yeah, you're going to get funding to do soybeans. This guy's going to get funding to do this, that, and that. So that a lot of that scenario has already come to pass.
But I'm saying if they try to literally shut down a farm, say, you can't grow. Your land doesn't meet our new standards, so we're not going to license you to grow anything until you do what we're telling you you've got to do, knowing that the so-called standards that they've developed would create an unbearable financial hardship on those farmers. There's no way they can do it, and then they'll probably at the same time offer the farmer a good chunk of money to just buy their land so they can take over the farm and then they'll bring it up to snuff, right? Yeah. According to their new standards, which are designed to do nothing more than to run small independent farmers out of business. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that absolutely, I think, will happen should these guys be allowed to continue their takeover of our way of life. And I'll just, I guess, because we're getting kind of long here, I'll just end with this part of this story is that this whole Green New Deal, the environmental sustainability and corporate goals, the ESG goals that the United Nations, the Sustainable Development Goals, all these things that the United Nations is pushing upon us and is using the non-governmental organizations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, certainly one of the spearhead organizations in this, has been tested. Because did you know that there was an Alliance for a Green Revolution in Africa? Alliance for a Green Revolution in Africa founded in 2006. Okay, is when it started. There has been one report on the success of this Alliance for the Green Revolution of Africa, and it came out very recently, actually, I think it was this year, by Timothy Wise, and it's called Failing Africa's Farmers, an Impact Assessment of the Alliance for Green Revolution in Africa. And again, this organization received roughly $1 billion funding, two-thirds of it from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and dispersed more than $500 million in grants, mainly to 13 African countries. Basically, long story short of it, they've increased productivity by 29%, but they've also increased undernourishment and starvation since 2006 by 30%.
Wow.
And so increased productivity of their BS produce and greens and whatever, you know, synthetic meats, whatever they're doing.
Their fake food.
And has increased undernourishment and starvation by 30%. And that's what is going to come. Again, this is that's what they want. Mm-hmm. That's like they're like, yes, okay, we're doing
We're still trying to tweak the system, you know. We got a few bugs we got to work out. That's the problem.
Yeah, because that should be, you know, 80% increase in the starvation. So,
right.
That's their goal.
Right.
So Marie writes in that... yeah, they manipulate it so that we've got a drought 1 year and flooding the next year.
Is that possible?
Oh, yes. It's imminently possible. In fact, yes. I think
so. Our drought last year, happening. Was that supposed to be
manipulated?
Was that?
Well, yeah. I'm not going to say it's going to be next week, but I'll do a show on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I have documents that, yes, this has been. I mean, there's a freaking United Nations treaty from 1977, folks, well before I was born, 1977, where they agreed not to use weather modification technologies, which could include up to causing earthquakes against other nations. They didn't say anything about using your own people.
You see how he made 1977 sound like it was ages and ages and ages, well before I was born.
Eons.
Thanks, Dr. Dan.
Well, just saying. So
I remember 1977. Yeah,
the stuff, while for most people it gets sloughed off into conspiracy theory,
sure.
It is not conspiracy theory. There is a lot. You can watch Truman talk about how they need to control weather, right? Mm-hmm. You can watch this man giving a speech about this stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
So that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So here's the real simple way that you can figure this out. If they're doing it, it's not a theory.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's just kind of...
So
just
yeah,
to keep things simple.
Yeah, we can. I mean, we can leave it there for my part. I think I've gotten across the message. Go read this article. It's very long and detailed. And I know people who watch this show are readers. So please read this. Don't just take my word for it. Again, I don't ask people to trust me ever. Always check me because again, I've been wrong. I corrected myself on something at the beginning of the show.
Sure.
You know. So please, I want to be corrected. I want to be telling the truth to people. That is my goal in life. So yeah, I'll leave it there. Again, eat healthily. And let's overthrow these awful and evil food establishments.
I'm guessing you don't get corrected that often unless you're at home. I know how that goes.
Indeed, there it goes all the time.
any events coming up with the Midwest Public Health Coalition?
Nothing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we have a great need for that, though, because there's more information that we have to... However... there is an opportunity that we may have to change that dramatically, and I'll know more about that in the coming weeks.
Okay.
I do want to say this. Eat healthily. Dan says eat healthily. That means follow the food pyramid, right? Sorry. That was facetious. Ness on my part. So here's what it is. We started the show with the Department of Homeland Security. And sorry, this is coming directly from the Washington Post. So you know you can trust it.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, every once in a while, they do report on something correctly. The Department of Homeland Security's creation of a disinformation governance board, Ministry of Truth, is called the Disinformation Governance Board. Has set off a backlash on the right, even though it's not entirely clear if it's what they perhaps unfortunately named board will do. So Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas mentioned the creation of a board in multiple congressional hearings last week. And here's what he said. He said, in one case, he said it was going to be used to combat human smugglers. In another case, it was going to be to counter Russian cyber and election misinformation. So depending on who he's talking to, he's telling you what the purpose of the board is. It's actually going to be used to combat not human smugglers, but human strugglers, people that are struggling to tell the truth. Okay, I just, you heard that first here. And this is what he said, and this is a quote from Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Quote, "We have just established a and disinformation governance board in the Department of Homeland Security to more effectively combat this threat, not only to election security, but to our own homeland security." So let's just stop for a second and not, without going any further, he says, not only to combat the threat to election security, what election security? Right, there's no election security problem. What?
Biden won by landslide. That was it was all verified. There was no problem with that election. There was no cheating. There was no ballots that were brought in. That didn't happen. But now he's talking about election security? What? I'm confused. Okay. And to prevent the threats to our own homeland security. Amid growing anti-censorship fervor on the right, a bevy of Republicans have suggested that the initiative amounts to policing speech. Well, duh. Elon Musk declared it. Okay, this is going to be deep. Elon Musk said it was, quote, messed up.
Messed up. That's messed up, dude.
And many on the right liken it to the Ministry of Truth from George Orwell's book 1984, and that's what you were referring to. So I think we should talk about that more on an upcoming show because
perfect.
It's going to affect GFBS.
Sure.
Yeah. And I don't think people realize this, too, that the Soviets, the Bolsheviks, when they took over, like the Ministry of Truth is going to turn on you. Like
absolutely.
Like everything that wasn't completely far-left communists, they had trials, mock trials, and then they killed them all. So all these LGBT, all these BLM, all these people who think they're pushing this leftist narrative, when the revolution happens, they will be wiped out, right? They can't have people revolting against them no matter what, especially control groups like that. So off with their heads. That will happen. So the Ministry of Truth will turn on you even if you support it right now.
Gentlemen, thank you. RealCOVIDFacts.org. I tell you what, if you want to get a hold of these guys with the Midwest Public Health Coalition, check it out, RealCOVIDFacts.org. There we go. Executive Director David Waterman, Chief Science Officer Dr. Dan Stanislawski with the Midwest Public Health Coalition, all part of the Great Reset, brought to you by Executive Properties in Grand Forks.
Do you feel like you aren't making progress on your home projects? It may be time for you to ask for help. You should call your friends at Executive Properties and Construction. Our team offers over 30 years of experience, so you know your project will be in great hands with us. From outdoor projects such as decks, siding, and concrete work, to indoor projects like bathroom remodels, kitchens, flooring, and more, we can do it all. Call or email us today to get a head start on your spring projects for 2022.
Yeah, and for all your general contractor needs, call Executive Properties at 701-330-1273 or check out their website, executiveproperties.org. Well, there we go. Tomorrow at 11, by the way, we talk with North Dakota Senator Scott Meyer at 11 o'clock. Find out what's happening out in Bismarck and more. Have a great day, everybody. Remember, show up at East Grand Forks City Hall tonight at 5 o'clock. Say no to this proposed asphalt plant, all right? Hey, remember, everybody, to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone. And you know what? Become a patron on Podbean. Maybe you want to win yourself a nice GFBS hat like this. You can do it. Just become a patron on Podbean. Grand Forks, great little town, isn't it? Grand Forks' best source is giving it an identity again.